Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Churchill Downs, Breeders' Cup 2018, it's here. Breeders' Cup Friday, Future Stars Friday, No Rain Friday, Soft Turf Friday, Controversial Scratch Friday. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website as well, stevebick.com. Before we do any further handicapping, we've got Case, I don't know if you want to pull out our famous breaking news audio. It adds to the drama. We've already got drama, and there isn't a dollar sign on the tote board yet. The pre-scratch list, the Saturday and Friday scratches had to be in at 8 o'clock. That was the scratch time, and that meant state vet and so forth doing their rounds and approving everybody. And the first name that came up about an hour ago was Code of Honor, and Code of Honor simply with a temperature. And so Shug McGahee can't run him, obviously, and so a major disappointment for Shug and company. No Code of Honor. So look elsewhere for a closer into the juvenile. I'll stick with Friday for just a minute because we also are taking Shang 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 out of the juvenile turf sprint. That's a decision by Wesley Ward based on the soft turf. There isn't an official designation listed yet. The main track is muddy, but it's harrowed. They sent the harrows around, so it's going to dry, and we're free and clear of rain. What you can expect, certainly by the juvenile races, by the main track juvenile races, which come late in the day, races 8 and 10, you'll have a fast track. You may even have a fast track for the opener around here, 12:55, the way this track dries and how masterfully they manicure it. Shang 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 out. Big drink of water. The Larry Ravelli gets in. So we'll evaluate that in a little bit. The bigger news comes for Saturday, and I've left you hanging long enough. Polly Dream is a scratch from the Breeders' Cup Mile. And word comes that this was a state vet decision. This isn't Breeders' Cup's group, the state vet team, and of course the buck stops with Dr. Mary Scalay, and Freddie Head is not happy, and we'll get more details. This will become a story. This will become a sore point, and the Europeans are not going to be, as a team and as a collective, are going to be very miffed. I mean, certainly the ones that were competing against Poly Dream won't be, per se, today, but it does not send a great signal. If Freddie Head was ready to run Poly Dream, that was really all anybody would need to know. A lot of this has to do with her confirmation and probably a lack of familiarity with the way she moves and jogs, but apparently the knee was not to the liking of the Kentucky vets, and Poly Dream out, the favorite out of the mile tomorrow. You already knew that Hunt was scratching from Saturday's race, and that had come, of course, earlier in the week. So you get both of the runners that have been positioned as also eligibles will run in the mile. Divisadero was already in. Now Clemmy gets in. So Aiden O'Brien, who already had an armada of horses, he gets one more starter, and Clemmy gets in to the mile, replacing Poly Dream. Let's just say not replacing, but getting in because of Poly Dream's exit. So And apparently Maxime Guyon, who was scheduled to ride Polydream, we believe is on an airplane heading this way. So he's not going to be too pleased upon arrival either. No reason to dwell on this right now. I imagine there's going to be plenty of discussion and fallout from this moving forward as part of the postscripts. Awesome Slew has come out of the dirt mile as well. Feel badly for Mrs. Weber and Mark Cassie, but Awesome Slew exits the dirt mile. So everybody to his right moves in a slot, Seeking the Soul, Firenze Fire, Bravazo, Giant Expectations, and notably Catalina Cruiser will leave from the 9 berth now instead of the 10. He'll wear the 10, of course, though. And then all the other AEs that might have been waiting for a good word, they're all scratched. Insta Irma doesn't get into the to the turf sprint. Dream Pauline doesn't get into the Philly and Mare sprint, etc. You know, she kind of, boy, you know, she was a bad luck individual there because she figured to run, had Happy Like a Fool run in the main, in the 6 furlong sprint. You can also scratch the classic, also eligibles, Toast of New York, who will run today in the marathon, and Collected, who may be staying here waiting for the Clark for Bob Baffert. So there's your Saturday fallout, and of course, same is true here. You can take out all the AEs except for Big Drink of Water. In the first Breeders' Cup race of the weekend and of the day, the Juvenile Turf Sprint. All right, there's your breaking news, as it were. Everything else in place, and we should have a full session again today of conversation and handicapping. Hour 3, we'll talk to Nick Tamro. Nick will sit with me, and we'll do what we did. We'll pick up from our Tuesday pace conversation and make some final determinations, and we'll have a three-headed roundtable here in the first hour with James Scully, Scott Shapiro, and Ed DeRosa. If Ed shows up, we're waiting for Ed. he surprisingly is not here yet, but he's got 3 kids at home, so maybe that's a reasonable excuse. We'll check in with Hammer. Hammer ended up not making the trip, and a rare Breeders' Cup miss for Hammer, so we'll talk to him by phone and get his thoughts. Maybe we'll patch in Jimmy Ventura too, and we can get the, because that's a tradition like no other. Hammer and Jimmy Ventura on Breeders' Cup Friday. That's one of my favorites. They come rolling in with overnights. Not even handicap. They got overnights with a couple of little hieroglyphics on them. That's their handicapping tricks. And who else? We'll get the DRF staff coming in one at a time and get some final tabs from them. Nicole Russo and Marty McGee, Dave Grenig, anybody that we haven't talked to this week. We appreciated Jay yesterday. Jay has been fighting off a cold, and he sounded, it's just funny, I got on the shuttle bus this morning, and a couple of minutes later, up there comes Jay. So we rode in together on the shuttle, and things do seem a little bit more like Breeders' Cup this morning with a lot of activity and things positioned nicely across the way at the Expo Center. A lot of parking, you know, they got the parking shuttles, and they seem like they're operating smoothly. So getting in and out of here, as always, with the Churchill moves in a big crowd like nobody else. So today, I don't know, what do you think? 40 today and 65 tomorrow? You know, one thing that came up yesterday that I haven't mentioned all week that is an inhibitor, or at least a aspect of tomorrow particularly, and that is the Kentucky Wildcat football team playing Georgia tomorrow. I think it starts at 3:30, and for the first time in anybody's memory, I mean, this is the best team Kentucky's had on the gridiron in forever, and that is going to take away. And they acknowledge, the Breeders' Cup people acknowledge that it'll have an effect. It might not be easy to quantify, but there will be a lot of people trying to, you know, maybe keep an eye on the races, but mostly watching the Wildcats. So wanted to mention that. It came up yesterday. I was talking to Seth Merrow. So there you go. Let's get ready, Case. Might as well get this first break in, and we'll set the stage. I'll see if DeRosa has shown up, and if so, we'll start the round table. My selections are up, and I put up the raw picks last night at about 9:30. We had a really fun session. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the Stats Racelens chat, we had a 90-minute session. Lafitte Pinkai III, LP3, he was tremendous. We had a lot of fun. Craig Walker, who's a terrific handicapper, and of course, who gave you last year's four-figure score in the Philly and Mare Sprint. He's the one who came up with Bar of Gold, and he likes a little bit of a shot there too. He was the second person to bring up anonymity, which I thought was interesting. Gary Young, of course, on Wednesday mentioned that it was Mandela himself that decided and pushed for anonymity. And then here's Craig Walker, who, you know, probably isn't plugged in or worried about that kind of information, but just on a handicapping basis, he was interested in anonymity. So those of you that are on her, you've got some endorsements. You got a little bit of mojo. Anyway, so in addition to that, my stuff is up, and I fleshed out the written thoughts as well. And of course, there's my invocation that we have the Derby invocation when we're here with Darren, and my Breeders' Cup invocation. And if you're not going to get a chance to see the website, I'll give it a quick read. These 2 days offer unique opportunities with chances to be rewarded for creative thinking and audacious risk-taking. Some will come away delighted and some maddeningly frustrated, but all should approach these races as the curious and challenging puzzles they become. No matter how well you handicap the races, fields, and of course these tricky conditions with the turf course, fields and conditions this mysterious will produce several nearly unforeseeable results. And remember, you could be taking an offer well into Saturday, but get it all back and more in the waning moments of the Breeders' Cup. No matter how the ledger looks when it's over, appreciate that your ability as a horse player won't be defined over the course of these 2 days. Spend as freely as you can afford, and here's hoping everyone nets something that fills their account and makes them proud. I just recycle that every year. I can't improve on that. Also, for the 13th year in a row, it's been a pleasure bringing the cup to everybody this week. I hope that the 15 hours and everything we did leading up preceding weeks gave you something you can convert into cashers. Thank Churchill, thank Breeders' Cup team, all of our sponsors, especially the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund, the regulars, and everybody who contributed so generously as they do. And thanks to everybody out there. I wanted to get that in now because invariably at the end of the show, I run out of time. We'll take a break. We're at Churchill. It stopped raining. It's also cold. From 71 yesterday down to 40 this morning. This place is pneumonia-inducing. Back after this at the races.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with
Steve
Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. they said, give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. We were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda. The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hias for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hias.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com performance plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
This is a house that Jack built, y'all. Remember this house. This was the land that he worked by hand. It was the dream of an upright man. There was a room that was filled with love. It was a love that I was proud of.
Well, you might be able, if Johnny D is able to deliver you maybe the classic superfecta, as he's been known to do, you might be able to build your own new house, your dream house. Johnny D joins us for some final thoughts. Johnny, good morning.
Stevie, how unusual to speak to you on a Friday.
Well, I usually reach out. I usually get you in for a Breeders' Cup summation.
Well, it's true. And you, and this morning you're interrupting my Breeders' Cup summation at home. I'm trying to put together all these pieces. A lot of loose pieces, a lot of loose turf. I'm going to be flying this afternoon. excuse me, it's Breeders' Cup, and we're ready to go. I'm excited.
We should give everybody the ExpressBet wagering guide update. Pages have been added. Brent Musburger page slipped in there. Eddie Olchik's final thoughts. And Eddie actually, you know, kind of just grouped together five horses. And it's interesting because with my $100 idea, I did a five-horse box. And Ed seems to... Edzo seems to have an idea that, you know, the winner comes from one of maybe five horses. Make sure everybody gets back to ExpressBet and visits the updated guide. And, of course, your thoughts as well.
Yeah, I think looking at the classic this year that way, there's two ways you can look at it. Look, it's a very contentious race. There's no Accelerant deserves everything he's fought hard and well this year, but there are other horses. This is certainly the toughest field he's faced in his career. So, this is, and he's drawing the 14 hole. Some people say, oh, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay if he can get over. But if he can't get over, it's not okay. So there's some question there. And when it's the favorite, does he have speed? Yes, he has enough speed to kind of get close up. But I could also see him getting caught, in a three-horse spread and being four wide in the first turn, which really doesn't help him. So, it's that kind of race this year. So the way I approached it, I said, who do I think is going to run well in here? Who could I, I can't use them all. I got to break some eggs. I got to make some decisions. So I kind of decided to hang my hat on a West Coast running either first or second. Why do I think that? I think he got a lot out of his race the other day. This is his final race, reportedly. I think, when you know it's a horse's final race, you don't have to worry about the future so much. So, you can go to the bottom of him. You've got a trainer who knows how to get to the bottom of the horse better than anyone. Is it unusual that they're not leaving the door to Pegasus open? Yeah, that kind of disturbs me a little bit. Mike Smith going to McKenzie. I understand the futures with McKenzie. I get all that. But that kind of, these are all little hints that they kind of bug you. But then when I look at his record, the horses he's faced, the fields he's been in, I get that he has faced the best collection of horses and run the best against that collection of horses. So I ended up hanging my head on him. Now, I've used, many others in the race trying to, fall into that superfecta by King, West Coast in the 1 and 2 spot. But it's a wide open race. Figures to be a decent pace up front. The closers are going to have their chance, although I don't think there are enough fading closers in this race. One of the horses that is close up is going to hang around because there's just too much quality, I don't want to say speed, but quality pressers, for this race to completely blow up, in my opinion. I just don't see it. But Minor Biscuits, man, what he's trying to do, it's a kind of a throwback thing where a horse wins a grade one sprinting, and it can also stretch out to a mile and a quarter and win a grade one and beat a pretty decent field. This is a decent field. But there's no reason to go against him. He has answered the bell every time. He's progressed beautifully. He's got a young, some would say an experienced trainer, certainly a confident trainer. And his confidence in Chad Summers, sometimes you want to root against him because he's, I don't want to say he's bragging, but it's, he seems too confident. But that's okay, we could use a little of that once in a while. So that's a horse that if he won, I would not be surprised. He likes the racetrack. Of course, he's trying to be something that's very difficult to do, and only the great ones have been able to do what he's trying to do. But he certainly could do it. And the three-year-old, I just really, it's why I kind of didn't go with McKenzie as the key, even though I could see him running well easily. I just don't know how good they are. Maybe McKenzie and Catholic Boy are just above the rest of the three-year-olds. So you're saying, well, these are the two best three-year-olds, and they fit with the older horses. I could buy that. That I could buy. So it's a very interesting race. Very interesting.
Johnny, if you're King, West Coast, first and second, give the horses that you're putting in with him. That who has to be in at least the. You gave a couple of ideas there, but who else has to be down on the bottom rungs of the Trine Super?
Well, in the second leg, which would be the first leg when West Coast is in the two hole, I've got 3 Catholic Boy, 6 McKenzie, 11 Minor Biscuits, and 14 Accelerate. I think it's a solid group of backup. I've got the 2 best 3-year-olds. I've got Minor Biscuits, who we just talked about, and Accelerate, who should not be discounted. And then in the bottom rungs, I've got those same horses plus Mendelssohn, who has the speed, and he might hang around, but he's kind of lost ground in his last 3 races in the stretch. I don't see where he's going to hang around better today. He's going to have better horses pressing him. Is he the lone speed? Yeah, maybe. So that's why I did put him in the 3rd spot. I think they're going to be close enough to him. 10, Yoshida. We don't know. We really don't know. 1 good race doesn't tell you a whole lot. He's a quality animal. Maybe he likes dirt better than turf. Maybe he's going to improve on dirt. I don't know. And then that's it. Those are the only ones I added. And then in the 4 hole, we've got, we threw in Pavel because he's working very well. He loves Churchill Downs. I think, that's the kind that can upset the apple cart. And that's it. I think that's the only one the only extra one we threw in.
Nice. Nice. All right. Well, and of course, in written form, this is at ExpressBet, yes? Your final written?
At ExpressBet.com. It's on my weekly column. In the on-track column blog that I write, you can tell I'm old because I still use the word column. It's a blog, my weekly blog. And then also, it's included in the all that Breeders' Cup. We've got a special Breeders' Cup page with the wagering guide and all that information. It's all included in that section also, which has got lots of great stuff this year.
Well, Johnny, some other notes, some other horses dotting the 2 days that you're going to bet? Some oddballs?
Oh, is this 2 days? I didn't know. I didn't know this was 2 days. Oh, yeah, it is. That's right. Yes. I think Newspaper of Records a cinch for me. Enable is the other short price favorite that I am thinking of relying on to do something, although I certainly do understand anyone going against her. A horse today that I found interesting, and I don't know if he can win. It's probably asking too much. And by the way, maybe you can help me with something. In the juvenile today, the Breeders' Cup juvenile, Standard Deviation. Is he adding blinkers today?
From everything I see, yes.
Okay, because I got an early program and it doesn't have notation in there, so I didn't know. And I, of course, the form I've had for I've been working off the form off of DRF PPs that are since the pre-entries came out, or before the pre-entries. So anyway, I heard Chad say he was going to put blinkers. Bottom line, I really thought this horse ran really well in his last race. I'm not saying he's going to upset and win the race. Although he got one step closer with Code of Honor's all force defection today. I just found him interesting, and it wouldn't be if it was over and Chad Brown won the race with the other one. You'd kick yourself, wouldn't you? If he won the race with the longer price horse, you'd kick yourself. But I think there's going to be a pretty hot pace in here. And I was looking for a closer, and he's 12-1 on the line. Blinkers on. He should be in the right spot. Javier gave him a tour of the course last time. He could be okay. I haven't seen his workout information. I got to get to that still.
He worked at the last published work that got notation came at Keeneland, and was basically quoted as being in really good flesh and lit up. And I do think with Code of Honor coming out that those that are looking for the late runner, the standard deviation is the obvious fallback position. I mean, the race still goes through complexity and game winner, and what I did was I substituted immediately. I moved standard deviation up for Code of Honor, and my price underneath the key with the logicals is still Dueling, who's also adding blinkers as it happens, and is going to get that up close, a little closer up, but get a ground-saving trip down inside under Manny Franco. Manny Franco really, Franco's riding style really suits this horse, and I know some people wondered why, you know, Mike Smith, had ended up actually with Kathleen O'Connell. But Manny Franco is a very able partner for Dueling down inside. And, in fact, Brian DiDonato wrote a very nice piece in TDN, you could see today, about Tom McGreevy and Michael Stinson and their, burgeoning, fledgling partnership. And McGreevy, moving buy horses for Michael Stinson. So this is their first big opportunity.
Yeah, you just reminded me of something which I'm not sure that all our listeners are aware of, but jockeys, it's interesting how jockeys end up on certain horses, especially in these big races. I don't want to put this, not in this case, I'm not saying this case, I don't know anything about this case, but sometimes a little cash will change hands. A rider will have a little extra bonus offered by one owner over another owner to ride their horse, and that will sway your decision as a jockey agent. If one guy happens to offer you, $5,000, $10,000, I've heard even more than that in some cases involving the Classic to stay with my horse instead of riding the other horse. I'm not sure that's illegal. I don't know if it is or it isn't. I think it probably is legal because it's a contract. You're making a business deal. But it will happen. So it's not always, as handicappers, we try and look and say, well, this jock picked this horse. Yeah, but we don't have all the facts. Now, day-to-day operations, it's rare in day-to-day racing. But if you get into these big money races, especially the Breeders' Cup, the Derby, big money races, and a few dollars will change hands.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked, but not dismayed. Johnny, who else? Give us a couple of Saturday oddballs.
They're going to do this again Saturday? Come on. Saturday oddballs. As you can tell, I'm a little, okay, filling mare sprint, Marley's Freedoms for me, the turf sprint, wide open for me, dirt mile, how about this bomb, go take a look at Isotherm. I mean, it comes down to City of Light, Catalina Cruiser, we all know that, go take a look at Isotherm, take a serious look, if you like Accelerate, or you like West Coast, go take a look at that last race. Isotherm was right with them, and even when the running started, he hung around. And go back and look at his race one before that, and you'll see a race against Dabster where Isotherm was in like the five pass all the way around the track at Del Mar, got beat a length and a half by 3 to 5 shots for Dabster. Very interesting long shot. And this race, it had the habit of blowing up. And I have to give credit to Jeremy Plant for pointing this one out to me. He told me to take a look at him, and I did. And very interesting. He's a bomber. The filly and mare turf, I'm with Wild Illusion, and then Four-Star Crook and also System Charlie. I got nothing really exciting to say there. Roy H. is going to get a fantastic trip in the sprint. But promises fulfilled. This guy is as tough as nails, He's fast. I think he's faster than Imperial Hint. I think Imperial Hint's better if he just kind of saves a little bit. Thomas's Fulfilled is going to, you better bring a gun and a knife if you're going to fight him. In the Breeders' Cup Mile, use them all, especially with the turf the way it is. The Distaff, yeah, I think Tasman, I don't like her last race. I think something's up. I don't know what it is. I think maybe she was just better before. Maybe it was a late factor. I don't know. I don't know. You got to use her, though. You have to respect her. I like Midnight BC. I don't know why. I just think she's watching her train. I think she's coming up to a really good race. Obviously, Monomoy Girl, you have to respect her. She's the speed. And Blue Tribes, I like this because she keeps showing up. I'm not doing any favors in there, I know, except maybe that I like Midnight BC a little more than some other people. And in the turf, this is it's a European race, and Abel, I could see her getting beat, but I think I'll go with her. I don't think the Americans are that much. Channelmaker is interesting because he's got some gas. He likes the off course. Glorious Empire, I looked at, but I don't know. I want to lean European anyway. I'll probably end up singling Mabel on most tickets and then kind of back it up with a few other ones and the classic we already talked about. So if you can't make money off of that, I don't know what else. I don't know what else to tell you.
No, some good ideas in there, Johnny, including Isotherm. And it's funny, Isotherm came up the other day, and we just laughed a little bit about Matt Shira, who is just remarkable. And of course, Shira has got two on the day, Isotherm early, and then Glorious Empire later in the turf. So a guy that has been very lucky. I mean, we talk about Bob Edwards, but Matt Shira has had his share of luck in the game as well. Not at the Bob Edwards upper level, per se, but he's had plenty. He's had grade one winner now in Glorious Empire, and things seem to go his way, he's very easy to root for, Matt Shira, and Isotherm. And, of course, Phil D'Amato with the bad luck of losing Hunt out of the mile. And Ransom the Moon, who he was going to bring here. Phil D'Amato went from 60 to 0 or to 20 in a heartbeat from the way things looked coming in toward the Breeders' Cup. Well, Johnny, I appreciate this tremendously.
Yeah, the only other one I wanted to mention that I think I skipped over, Next Shares in the mile. I said use them all. But I really like the way Next Shares is coming up to this. And it's interesting because he's a California-based horse, but he ran twice in Kentucky just before this. So Next Shares in the Breeders' Cup Mile. And you know what? That brings up two trainers, two California trainers, who may not be nationally known at all. D'Amato and Baltus. Two young guys who are doing good things, really good things with their horses. So on a national scale, if you don't play Southern California, you might not be familiar with these guys, but they're pretty good.
Absolutely. Well, Johnny, best of luck. I appreciate this, and we'll be doing some recapping and hopefully counting large stacks or maybe licking wounds. You don't know. But we'll be in there pitching, and I appreciate all this help. And, of course, the Express Bet Breeders' Cup Wagering Guide has been updated, and then John White's analysis column, and Johnny's as well at ExpressBet. Johnny, enjoy.
Stevie, don't say anything bad about me. I'm listening.
Johnny D, everybody. Let's take a break. We may move to the Brisnet team and the Twin Spires team with James Scully and Scott Shapiro and Ed DeRosa, if DeRosa's here. We've also got the DRF guys and gals lined up. That includes Nicole Russo and Marty McGee and everybody else cycling through. Dave Grenig, of course, was on the story this morning of Code of Honor coming out of the juvenile. But either way, back to Churchill Downs right after this.
latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Don't wait. With 14 challenging Breeders' Cup races, 5 Friday, November 2nd, and 9 Saturday, November 3rd, you've got to be ready. Kickstart your handicapping mojo with ExpressBet's free Breeders' Cup Wager Guide, available online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, October 26th. Get analysis, selections, price plays, and $100 wagering strategies for every Breeders' Cup race from expert handicappers and broadcasters, plus plenty of stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. XBTV's Jeff Siegel, At the Races radio host Steve Bick, NBC Sports Analysis Nick Luck, and multiple Eclipse Award winner Dick Girardi anchor a powerful team of guide experts. NBC Sports Analyst Eddie Olchek and retired sportscaster Brent Musburger of VSEN will contribute to a revised guide version available Thursday, November 1st. Go to ExpressBet.com now, open an account, and get the free guide and play Breeders' Cup.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at pabred.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here we go down a long dark road, same place where we used to go, and the words get stuck on the tip of my tongue.
We're back at the races, a little less than 20 to the top of the hour. Looks like we have identified the presence of Ed DeRosa, and he's traffic bound, so he'll be here close enough, soon enough, and we'll have the boys join us at 10 to do their roundtable action. Marty McGee just finishing up on a story. Marty will join me momentarily. He said give him 5 minutes, so he'll be here in a little bit. And you know, one of the things that we've tried to do, it's become harder and harder, frankly, at this event, is make sure that virtually every horse got at least a passing mention in the event. And obviously we haven't been able to do that the way we have in years past, but I mean there's an extra 40 horses compared to when we first started, maybe even more. It might even be like 50 horses. But so you know, quick rundown actually today in that juvenile sprint, we pretty much have hit the major players. You know, one horse that really has not gotten much discussion, that Moonlight Romance of the Ramseys. This isn't even a Ramsey homebred. This is a horse they bought, Wesley Ward, and a liaison filly that's coming out of the Kentucky Downs Victory. And she's really not gotten a lot of notice and strictly been doing kind of maintenance work. And you know, she's going to kind of get lost, I think, in here. And she does have Jose Ortiz. You know, nothing wrong with that. Chelsea Cloisters, of course, kind of drew in when we had one of the early defections. We've talked about all the Euros, Pocket Dynamo, and Queen of Bermuda, and So Perfect. You know, the more I looked, actually, the more interesting So Perfect got. I thought that, So Perfect kind of bubbled up. Big Drink of Water, remember, is now part of the picture and is a horse that is going to show speed and is cutting back from longer distances. You know, the Arlington Washington Futurity win, we talked to Ravelli about that, and you know, then the Fitz Dixon. So he, you know, this sold at Gelding has gone 7 and 6.5, and he's cutting back to the, you know, the distance of his Victoria win at Woodbine. So it's a late consideration, but at the very least, Big Drink of Water is going to add to the pace pressure from outside. And that actually, you know, when we think about the horse we've talked most about, Soldier's Call, you know, who's going to be on and near, this is an added layer of speed and pressure that it becomes part of the juvenile turf sprint. The juvenile fillies turf today, obviously the major players have been discussed, Concrete Road and Mackem Bullet and Lily Scandal, Just Wonderful, La Pelosa, Newspaper of Record, Stellar Agent. Got to give George Abreu at least a note. This is one of the many Sol Cumin runners. Sol actually the, you know, the lead partner here. This is not a horse that he, you know, he bought just a little piece of. He's listed first. Our friend Steve Lehman involved in here, and Martin Schwartz too. So quite a bit of Chad Brown owners helping Georgia Bro in here. Yeah, you know, Belle Laura, we should at least mention, because this of course is Norm Cassie's first Breeders' Cup starter, and I'd be willing to guess that Belle Laura will be ready to run and put in an effort. And of course was third behind Concrete Rose and Paquette. The Eclipse horse came up briefly with the other day with Aaron Wellman. Varenka has not been mentioned. The George Strawbridge homebred by Go Sapper out of the Dynaformer Mare Dynamic Cat. She was second, a distant second, obviously, to Newspaper Record in the Miss Grillo, but deserves a mention. And, you know, a horse that kind of bubbled up on my radar and my interest level, and, in fact, I ended up putting her second as a value play, My Gal Betty. Today in the juvenile filly turf, I think she's very employable underneath, given that you know, she picks up Castellano and Roger Atfield, and you know, ran arguably the best race, kind of got late started and you know, just couldn't get to La Pelosa in the Natalma. But My Gal Betty's going to be a monster price, and why not include her? So I want to, there we go, at least we got a few more horses that we hadn't mentioned into the storyline. Marty McGee joins us, still in the afterglow of his Walter Haight Award, and virtually every McGee that could be rounded up in the tri-state area was on hand. Congratulations again.
Thanks, Bic. It was pretty awesome. I mean, I was a little, I wouldn't say I was nervous about it, but it was looming large for a couple of months, and finally got it over with. My daughter Molly was there for the award on Wednesday night at Whiskey Dry down on 4th Street Live. Lori Hebel did a tremendous job with the setup,
yeah,
the dinner and everything. It was really, really nice. We've had a lot of good venues for that dinner here in Louisville. We had them at the Ali Center. We had it at the Louisville Slugger Museum. It was real nice. Years ago we had it at the Pendennis Club. Do you know where that is on 2nd Muhammad
Ali? I don't know where it is, but I do know of it.
I think that was for the 94 Breeders' Cup. For some reason, Randy Romero sticks in my mind. Maybe he was there. He got honored. I don't know. But, yeah, it was great. My daughter Kelly's still out in Seattle. That was the one. And I gave a huge shout-out to Samantha Siegel.
Yes, you did.
For all she has done for my family. And I was just extremely humbled and gratified to get that award.
Well, you had, and of course, you've been involved in the Turf Writers and Broadcasters for many years, and for a long time, you refused even to be a nominee. I guess as you've mellowed and matured and aged, you realized, okay, I guess if you're going to insist on putting me up for it, I'll.
Either that or Tom Law made me take it. So, Tom Law is the president of the National Turf Writers, and we have our annual meeting a few months ahead to gather nominees, and he pretty much strong-armed me into taking. I think because he knew that I would bring 16 people to the dinner. But it's pretty nice.
It was spectacular, and it was I've attended maybe six of them, and I thought it was the nicest. Baffert came to introduce Mike Smith for his honor. Tom Hammond and the NBC crew on hand, Kenny Rice, and they were all there for Donna Brothers and Frank, just off knee replacement surgery. Donna got a little choked up. The whole thing was great.
It was, I say that every year. Last year, Del Mar was good. The year before that, Santa Anita was good. Keeneland, when Tom Hammond was honored, it was really nice at the Marriott there. And Tom spoke a long time. I think he spoke longer than any of us. He really prepared. Maybe he misses being out on the action, but he really did his homework on Don and really brought it. And it was just great being a part of that.
Well, happy to have been there and enjoyed it. And I hadn't been down to 4th Street Live in ages. Ages, and it is different in the fall than it is in the spring. The spring, it's a little more. Yeah, listen, we've had a nasty week here. Things finally relented, but let's shift gears into that. And the wet weather has impacted some horses, including Shang 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 coming out of the juvenile turf sprint. But we've also got some illness. Colleague Dave Grenig, first with the Code of Honors scratch due to a temperature. There's going to be controversy, Marty, over Poly Dream being forced out by the state vets.
Yeah, I know nothing of it. You know, I can recall 30-something years ago at Laurel, so this has been going on forever, where trainers have an honest disagreement with the state vets, the state officials, the one who mandate that you be scratched. I remember my brother got into a big to-do over some N2L30 claimer. Horse's name was Kick-A-Lane. I don't know why I remember it, but
because you remember everything.
Yeah. But you know, and you'll hear of a guy a few years ago with Glashaw out of Santa Anita. He had a mega disagreement. He sent me a 1,100-page text about why, you know, the state vet was wrong for, I forget the horse's name. It was out of Santa Anita, maybe in 16 or maybe before that, but and these state vets, and by the way, they were huddled in closed doors in the steward's office when I was waiting for them. After I got there about 8:10, and they didn't come out till about 8:30. Maybe they were discussing whether the political ramifications of scratching a horse as high profile as Poly Dream. And you're telling me that Freddie Head, of course, said there's nothing wrong with this horse, and the state vets feel compelled, if they see something by their trained eye, to go ahead and scratch him in the pre-race examination. So I'm sure it's going to blow up.
You would think. And, I mean, certainly somebody is accomplished as a rider and as a trainer who has won as many races in Breeders' Cups as Freddie Head understands the ramifications. And that's what is so stunning. I mean, between his Miesque wins and his Goldakova training, to question Freddie Head is a little bit kind of jaw-dropping.
Over the top. I mean, you would have to take that in consideration. Unless you as a, you know, these vets, I mean, as much as they know, they're not as hip as
a horse they've seen for 2 days.
Yeah, and they're not as hip as to who is who in this game sometimes. You know, if they don't know, I mean, maybe I'm talking out of school.
No, we'll find out. We'll find out. I got Freddie's number, in fact, and I almost had Casey call Freddie, but we may wait till next week. That's one of the greatest moments in the history of the show is when I said, Casey, call Freddie Head. And so he called up and he puts Freddie on, and I said, Freddie, congratulations on Goldikova. Why? What'd she do? I said, she's in the Hall of Fame. Ah!
Good. Yeah.
It was great. That's one of my favorite things ever. Well, let's talk about your race first. And it is the Philly and Mare Sprint, and it's a full field. We've got Marley's Freedom outposted. That is a constant theme of this entire Breeders' Cup, Marty, is how many low-priced horses are in the last or second-to-last berth. And in some cases, in one-turn races, it's less of an irksome prospect.
It's actually, conversely, it's more of a favorable prospect
in my mind. Absolutely.
Open-air outside box.
The open-air outside box. Right. I'm going to name a horse open-air outside box.
That's from Toby Callett. He made that up. You got the open-air outside box where the air is fresh and clear. There are no encumbrances.
Give us the final take on your race.
Well, I also have I was handed over the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies today, so I've
really
zeroed in on that too.
Nice.
And I'm going for Selcourt. I mean, ooh. I'm just kind of guessing on that John's going to have her ready, and she's just going to. I guess she's going to have to wire them, or maybe Tyler can just get her out there, and somebody will. Gun and she will sit behind it, but Marley's Freedom. I was talking to people about how Baffert just has freaked at Saratoga and in some cases on Belmont days.
Mm-hmm.
And can all his horses run like that again here? So you know, at 8-5 or so, which Marley Freedom's going to be, I just have to play against. I will not be surprised if she wins by 5. But there's some gas in there. I think Anonymity is one of the sleepers.
You're the third person now in 3 days to bring her up.
Well, she's coming off a little bit of a shorter race, and she needed that last. And actually, Gary Mandela wanted to know. He wanted me to divulge some of the embargoed information, like, can we pack our traps and start coming? And I'm not going to say whether or not I let him know if they should pack their traps and start coming.
Jim Clarkson,
I know that they were. I know that they were trying to. They really wanted to come. You know, maybe just to be in it. I don't know because I don't. Does Mandela have anything else in? I don't think he does.
No,
but, it's pretty remarkable. What 15 years ago is when he won 4 of them.
Yeah.
So, and that's before we even had two cards.
Exactly. Yeah, that's so. What there were. That's what there were seven races.
Yeah, I think they might have had 8 by then.
By then, 8, yeah, because they added the Philly and Mare turf by that. Yeah, it was the first edition.
Hey, he dead-heated for one of them and won 3 of them.
Joe Hart.
Anyway, she's going to show some gas. Mia Mischief, fresh, having skipped the TCA, she'll show some gas. So I'm really kind of shaky on Selcourt. Maybe she'll try and wire him. I don't know. But her California form, it was so... powerful. I mean, she just owned Marley's Freedom back then. Of course, Marley's Freedom's a different horse under Baffert, but really an interesting race, Steve. I mean, if Marley's Freedom or Selcourt doesn't win, it's going to pay a number because they're the two favorites.
I want to make sure as we try to get every horse mentioned over the course of the week, I want to get a couple of names in here that have not really been discussed. But Anonymity, it's just funny because Gary Young talked about it on Wednesday, and then yesterday Craig Walker in our Stats Racelands analysis, that's his pick. And last year he did give everybody Bar of Gold, but... Finley's Lucky Charm, who has kind of strangely now as a 5-year-old mare, has gotten less consistent, which is a little unusual. Usually with maturity, you would think she'd be a little bit more consistent. And you talk about some other locals as well that... Wesley Ward, I wanted to slip in. Happy Like a Fool was a late addition to this. Wesley had been talking the 6-furlong sprint, and then at the last second diverted here. He's gone 7 furlongs with her once. That was in the Beaumont back in the spring.
I think she'd be better off in the Dream Supreme on Sunday. But anyway, You know, another horse who happens to be in my brother's barn is Stormy Embrace for Kathleen O'Connell. Have you mentioned her all week?
Well, we've talked about Kathleen all spring. Of course, she had her 2000th win as a trainer. We're huge fans. She's got well-defined today in the juvenile, and he is completely, in terms of speed, he's an unknown quantity in that race, and he could be a fly in the ointment. But Stormy Embrace, the sheer drama fiasco is a little tough to ignore after she ran that huge Princess Rooney.
Yeah, she got away about it. Kathleen kind of exaggerated it to me, so I went back and watched the replay. She acted like the horse got stone cold left, but she was just like kind of like Switzerland yesterday, just kind of got out
slow footed.
Yeah, the first 20 yards, you know, that was her race. That was the end of it. And she did persist after that. But if you do go back to some of her good races, Steve, most notably, of course, the Princess Rooney, she could be a contender. She's going to be 30-1 or so. And, yeah, this is just a heck of a race. It really is, as it should be.
You know, a horse that we absolutely got to include in the conversation is Golden Mischief, who's done nothing but go from strength to strength. And it seemed like Brad Cox was covering her up, running her in the provinces. And then she shows up at Keeneland and gets away at 9-2 and was dynamite in there. She's got a little bit of a tactical foot. She has been tremendous in the mornings out here. She looks terrific. And what's wrong with Golden Mischief at 10-1?
Her race in the winning colors was so bad because she was way too eager early. And I don't know if that was pilot error or just the way she is. The key to her race is exiting that chute. How relaxed is Giroux going to have her? Of course, you don't get to bet at that point because you got to bet before they start them. But
some of the conspiracy theorists out there will believe you can, but yeah.
But at the 5/8 pole, I think you're going to have a good handle on what kind of race she's going to run. If she's 4 or 5 off of it, I think she might come running. If she's up there with the likes of Mia Mischief and Soul Court, I'm going to give her a big ixnay.
You know who has been a different horse, and it's so funny because people love to talk about move-up trainers and guys that get horses, and oh, suddenly the speed figures are so much better. Arnaud Delacour has managed to move Chalon up on Peter Miller.
Yeah, I mean, it just purely on the fact that needed last in her race in the TCA, I mean, that would be a good angle for her. Now, I got to say, before the TCA, Arnaud told me 6 furlongs is better for her than 7. Mm. So maybe the Barbaro folks just want to go ahead and run her in here. But she's got to be 15 or 20 to 1 or something. But she missed the ballerina because she had a minor hock injury. I think she banged it in the stall one day, a couple weeks out. So they missed a little bit of time with her in that respect. But so this is her second off a layoff, and she will be one of the mid pack to back runners trying to make her move late.
Well, Golden Mischief fans. Chalon just ahead behind her in the TCA. You should also touch on, get back to Finley's Lucky Charm and some thoughts about, you know, her circumstance. She's one of those Churchill Downs lovers.
Well, she's 6 out of 7, and the only time she got beat was here in the Humana Distaff on Derby Day, and that followed the race at Keeneland, which is why Brett, after the ballerina, said, I don't want to go Keeneland to Churchill in a matter of 3 or 4 weeks. What would it have been, 4 weeks? He says, I'm going to go ahead and take my time with her, keep her here at home, let her train every day over this racetrack. She's drawn well out in post 11, and I need to reiterate, I'm sure I've said it on this show before, Brian Hernandez, one of the underrated jockeys in the nation. I expect her to trip out real nice, let anonymity go. She's got to be 5th or 6th down the backside, and then if she's good enough, she's not. I know that it's going to be a bittersweet race, regardless for Carl Moore and Brett Calhoun. And she's one of 4 horses in this race who sells Sunday night at Fasig is first.
Fasig's first.
Four of them go in Fasig. 4 of these 14 horses. By the way, Dream Pauline is out. She runs in the race on Sunday, I guess. Yeah, she's in the
Dream Supreme.
Yeah, she's in that.
Which California outsider do you prefer, Miss Sunset or Sky Diamonds?
Well, I mean, Sky Diamonds, they were talking about probably not running into this race until she beat Anonymity. Anonymity was the odds-on favorite in the LA Woman, so they said, well, what do we got to lose? Let's go on a runner. She's one of the horses selling at Fasig. she didn't show me enough last year in this same race. I got to be against her. Miss Sunset, she, like Stormy Embrace, like yesterday with Switzerland, she lost her race in the – who are we talking about here now? Yeah, Miss Sunset in the TCA. She was favored, I think, close to even money with Mike Smith up. One of those things, the first 20 yards were the key to her race. She was kind of shuffled back, and next thing you know, Mike was just trying to make up for everything. And even though she could have won if she was good enough, if she was superior, she didn't. I would tend to – she's got too many of those cowbred races on her paper for me, Steve. And she's down there where she might have some traffic trouble with my man DeSormo, who knows – you can't play them all. I mean, come on. You're trying to make me talk about every single one of them.
Well, I want people, because there's people out there that are saying, talk about my horse, talk about my horse.
Well, you know, I'm not going to, I mean, when you end up sit down to put pen to paper and doing your multis, you know, maybe she'd be on my final line of a C type of play as a saver if I was alive with something else, because, yeah, I don't know.
Last horse to talk about.
Go ahead.
Maybe one of the Breeders' Cup overlooked bomb types.
Shamrock Rose?
Shamrock Rose.
Out there where the air is fresh and clear in the open air outside box. I saw Mark Cassie at 6 o'clock in the morning about her this week. And my takeaway from it was he said she thinks she can beat anybody right now. You know, because my initial question was, going into the Raven Run, did you think you'd be here with her with this? And you know, she was 18-1 in the Raven Run, so he's like, nah, I'd be a genius if I thought that, and I'm not a genius. So,
well, he was a genius to put her back on dirt and to cut her back to 7/8.
Yeah, he said she's a completely different horse, and she's got some bad form from earlier in the year on the dirt, does she not?
Yes, but okay. Whatever happened at Presque Isle and Woodbine in the Malvern Rose and the La Lorgnette, for her to be 19-1 in that race at the Raven Run, you know, anybody that likes cutbacks and turf to dirt or synthetic to dirt, she was a poster horse. And she gets Arad Ortiz now, who will suit her. The running style change also. She did not put herself in the race early. That may have been part of her issues different times in different occasions back when she was going short. There's a hint or two in there with Shamrock Rose.
Yeah, she will be. I will use her ever so marginally, but I will use her in some multis. And Arad, by the way, was the jockey last year on Bar of Gold, who was 66-1.
Look at that, Marty. Marty's he's got this on the tip of his teeth, just like this. It's unbelievable. That's why he's a Walter Haight Award winner. Those people that are playing doubles into this race, we haven't talked about the undercard, but of course you did both. How about the second race? Is Audible come back and run it?
I mean, what do you do with him? He's got to be 2-1. I mean, surely.
This is the Cherokee Run.
Yeah, the Cherokee Run, race 2 tomorrow, 11:15 a.m. Eastern. Audible's 2-1 on the morning line. There is one scratch in there, number 1, Cool Bobby, one of the long shots. But this is not the goal for them. I talked to Jack Wolf briefly about this horse, and I kind of assumed that if he were to run big, they'd run him back in the Clark. But the answer to that is no. They're going to try and run him in the Harlan's Holiday on December 15th at Gulfstream, and then go forward from that, if they can, into the Pegasus. Yeah. So obviously this is not the goal. You've got some really capable horses outside of there. Super Soul is a real unknown for my nephew-in-law, Joe Talamo, and a guy named Bob Baffert, still having fun, still trying to get back to that race that won him the Woody Stevens. You've got Dale with Mr. Freeze and Dak Attack. It's a good race. Principe Gilherme, he was horrible in his return here, so I don't know what to make of him.
What about Avino Volcano? Al Gold is probably driving. Al, are you in the car? Text me. My man Al Gold, Avino Volcano, who came back to life in that Belmont allowance.
I don't know what to say about him. I mean, yeah. So I don't know how I'm going to play this horse. Maybe I'll use Joe Talamo and Super Soul. I don't know what he beat out at Los Al or... And then just try and get alive, and maybe Selcourt's going to be my main punch after that.
I thought Mr. Freeze on the turnback had a lot of appeal.
Why wouldn't he? I mean, who knows how good. Audible's had 7 works since mid-September at Belmont since he came back. You know, there's really nothing wrong with him, nothing major that led them. It was just Todd didn't like the way he was training in the Belmont. Of course, the ownership group had
Justify.
Had Justify. So, yeah, I don't know what to do with that. I guess I'll make up my mind when I walk to the window.
Before we talk about Friday and your other race now, the Juvenile Fillies, your classic thoughts or and anything else from Saturday that you're interested in?
I've got it picked Yoshida over Mind That Biscuits, and I'm fading Accelerate. I don't know why. I'd kind of like to see John win it, actually.
You've got him winning with Selcourt, so he gets off the schneid off the duck with Selcourt early.
I mean, but how much is that going to blow up the let's say Accelerate wins by five. What is that going to do to the Horse of the Year argument? Because
Nothing.
You really think Justify?
Oh, stop. Don't be like that.
But it will have been his fifth grade one win. You know, all of the – he absolutely would have been the dominant horse in the older horse division. Yeah.
East Coast Bias! East Coast Bias!
But, you know, Justify was an undefeated Triple Crown winner. Retired undefeated as a Triple Crown winner. Only time ever. So you're going to tell me that can't win a Horse of the Year? I don't know. I'm just looking for a storyline, Big.
I like that. Yoshida, Mind Your Biscuits. And you put Roaring Lion third?
Why wouldn't you? You guys don't like the way he's going in the morning? Okay.
It's okay. He's okay. There's too many horses that elevate above him.
I'll tell you what. Ron Moquette. Sometimes a guy will get in your ear.
Yeah.
He got in my ear, and he told me he's an absolute freak, monster, blah, blah, blah. So I threw Roaring Lion in there third. Kind of my top two are there. That I really like Yoshida. And Chad Summers.
Did Moquette have the crazy eyes while he was telling you the story?
Of course he did. Why wouldn't he?
That's my new nickname for crazy eyes. You made City of Light your best bet on the day.
Love him. I think he's going to, if he gets away cleanly, which he should, he is going to sit behind, what's Sadler's horse's name? The good horse.
Catalina Cruiser.
Yeah. He's going to stalk, and then swing off.
From inside, too, where he can prompt.
Go on and get him. I think he's going to be the better horse. Go back on some of his races. He's had some terrific races, City of Light.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And he's got a distance thing. He won the Oakland Handicap, mile and an eighth. He is going to have more of a distance advantage, unless he gets simply outfooted. But come crunch time, I think he's going to have the edge.
Well, Firenze Fire, you put second. And Seeking the Soul, yesterday morning, I got here very early, and it was dark. I parked over by the side, and there's a big black Mercedes, and somebody yells out, "Steve Beck!" And I look, who is that? And then I saw, you know, what looked like a bit of a possum over the it was Dallas Stewart, and I said, "Hi, you all set?" I said, "I'm sorry you didn't get into the classic." So that's all right. He said, "We're winning the Dirt Mile."
Well, the classic is way deeper, I think, than the Dirt Mile. It's probably only four horses have a chance in here in the Dirt Mile.
Let's talk about Friday, and the Phillies landed in your lap. You'll do the write-up today, and some thoughts about the Juvenile Phillies.
Well, I'm curious as to what price Bellafina is going to be. They've got her 2-1 on the line. She exits California with real raves. I think she'll be less than the 2-1 because after her and the two local horses, Serengeti Empress and Restless Rider, you've really only got Jaywalk. And I'm really skeptical on her, given the fact she has not run in a two-turn race. And I thought that she kind of got away with Murder in the Frisette in that she walked the dog early. You were supposed to get a challenge from Covefe. That didn't develop, and all of a sudden she's up three at the eighth pole. Her heart gets big. So I think she gets hooked here, and I'm fading Jaywalk for sure. I really think with Serengeti Empress going, Bellafina probably is going to trip out in a real nice second with maybe Jaywalk in there with him, and then Restless Rider with my man Hernandez sitting there just waiting. And if she explodes the way she has in other races, like the race here in the debutante, of course she didn't beat much, but her race at Keeneland was fantastic. I'm a straight 4-10 Restless Rider over Bellafina. and the juvenile fillies.
And that's actually the way I ended up picking it, and I made the same kind of rationale. It just feels like Bella Fina is shaky and has to work out a trip, is going to get tested, and you would have to think that Brian Hernandez Jr. Took the lesson of the spin away, moved a little awkwardly, and basically kind of mistimed. Now that she's made a two-turn debut, and the way in which he pounced and the way in which he used her more aggressively and positioned her, I got to think that that's the template for what she does in here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did like the way Reflect was closing on her. She was the only one even close to Restless Rider in the Alcibiades. I think she's a great slug-up play for your unders and your tries and supers.
I picked her third and made her the best value at 15-1 Reflect. She's looked tremendous out here. She picks up the services of Jose Ortiz, not to say anything negative about James Graham, who does a tremendous job. But let's be honest, you get Jose Ortiz in here, you get to save ground every step, and Reflect absolutely has got a value look. Another horse on this front, Michael McCarthy, who I've celebrated since pre-entries with five horses that he brings here from California. He's only got about 28, and he's brought 20% of the barn here. It's amazing. Vibrance probably deserves. I had trouble feathering her in prominently, but there's a lot of people that like her as an other horse for your exotics.
Well, Michael had said, he said earlier this week that she kind of defaulted to the lead in her last race at Santa Anita. And the way this shakes up, Steve, is she's not going to be the leader here if Johnny doesn't want her to be, and he won't want her to be. So she's probably going to get a good trip. I don't know if she will be ahead or behind Restless Rider. They'll probably be close together. But she'll have her chance to run her race from off the pace, which is what Michael wants.
A couple of other horses that I want to mention in here so that we get them all covered. Sipican Harbor, who surprised in the spin away with that bold late move that brushed past everybody. I got to mention Lee Pacoy, the owner, has been around for a long time. He has been to the Breeders' Cup before, but not only is Pacoy here with a horse that he owns that he bought for $260,000 at Saratoga as a yearling, he's also here behind the scenes as the breeder of Gunmetal Gray.
Was unaware of that. You know, how's this filly's one-turn, 7/8 race going to translate on the stretch out to this kind of,
She's by Orb. She's out of a deputy minister mayor. There's no reason why she wouldn't take the two turns. Right.
You're going to get her morning line's what, 12-1? You're going to get about that, you would think.
You would think. She's tough. This is an awkward race from a exotic standpoint about who who's easy to exclude. I haven't talked about Splashy Kisses yet all week. The Blame Filly, Doug O'Neill, who, has a smattering of runners this weekend. And got to mention Looch. He pitched in with Baby Nina, and Looch did win the bet on Sunshine yesterday. That's a nice horse, that Uno Mas Medela.
He got a great trip, and he was also fortunate that Switzerland got away kind of bad. But, yeah, I mean, I'm all for Looch, except if he's listening.
Okay, he's listening.
I'm a little bit mad that he unsolicited called me a few months ago and said, I'm getting out of this damn business.
And I wrote it. Fell for it.
Well, and I said unequivocal. That I use that word in my lead. Unequivocally, without any kind of ifs, ands, or buts, said, I am getting out of this damn game. But he's right in the middle of it right now. So, anyway.
He's the best. And Cassie's Dreamer we got to throw in, too, because we'd love, there's a lot of trainers, the horsemen, that, have had, have come to Breeders' Cup and are looking for their first win. Barkley is one of them. And Cassie's Dreamer, a horse that he flat out stole. And Looch said, they got me fair and square. He said, if you're in this game long enough, you're going to get a horse it's taken out from under you when you run them where they can win. And that's what happened. And now multiple grade one placed. And somebody asked me this morning, what do you do with her? It's hard to look at her for anything than a minor award.
Yeah, I would agree. I think both she and Splashy Kisses have that same kind of look.
Well, we look kindly on the work of Marty McGee and the presence here, one of the most popular and favorites on the show and in the Ville. I'm going to ask you a getaway question. How impactful is tomorrow's Kentucky-Georgia game, taking away from handle and attendance tomorrow.
I've thought about that. They're kicking off at what?
3:30.
Yeah, that's right in the heart of it. I mean, you only have a certain percentage of overlap, obviously. And what is that? I don't know. I mean, if you go to, they're going to have 65,000 there at Commonwealth Stadium. I don't know. How many people are interested in the Breeders' Cup? 15, 20%?
Yeah. I'd say 15 to 20% easy.
Yeah. Well, thank God they got those handheld devices now where you can bet on.
Well, there might be some cheering at inadvertent
DRF
times.
Bets.
There's going to be some people jumping up.
Yeah,
baby, go. And people are going to be like, oh, he just bet on something.
I wonder if they'll have the, I don't guess they'll have the football game on TV here anywhere, maybe.
Sure they will.
Yeah, okay.
Right. You'll have it on. You got a remote. You grab the remote and put it on in there. Come on.
I do commandeer the remote.
You are notorious and commandeers these visits. Marty McGee, DRF McGee, everybody, and stay on top of Marty's action here the next couple of days.
Thanks, buddy.
Stories. Thanks for
thank
everything.
You a lot. Okay,
always
thank
great.
You. All right.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we will put together the three-headed Twin Spires monster. Shapiro, DeRosa, and Scully. They're going to roundtable. I'm going to turn it over to them, actually, and maybe over to Waffle House on Preston Highway. I've got some breakfast. Back after this, it's Breeders' Cup morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Don't wait. With 14 challenging Breeders' Cup races, 5 Friday, November 2nd, and 9 Saturday, November 3rd, you've got to be ready. Kickstart your handicapping mojo with ExpressBet's free Breeders' Cup wager guide, available online at expressbet.com beginning Friday, October 26th. Get analysis, selections, price plays, and $100 wagering strategies for every Breeders' Cup race from expert handicappers and broadcasters, plus plenty of stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. XBTV's Jeff Siegel, At the Races radio host Steve Vick, NBC Sports Analysis Nick Luck, and multiple Eclipse Award winner Dick Girardi anchor a powerful team of guide experts. NBC Sports Analyst Eddie Olchek and retired sportscaster Brent Musburger of VSEN will contribute to a revised guide version available Thursday, November 1st. Go to expressbet.com now, open an account, and get the free guide and play Breeders' Cup.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.